This is a player from Carcosa Online. Please, you have to help. We are dying here. People are dying. What the hell is this game?
We here at Ballad of the Seven Dice are sorry for that interruption. That was from a confused player from our new campaign, Escaping Carcosa, which can be found on the Ballad of the Seven Dice's podcast feed.
Please, let us out! They are eating us! They're eating us!
The story follows two groups. One is a group of investigators trying to free the trapped players using Call of Cthulhu 7E. The other is a Pathfinder 2E group that is trapped inside Carcosa Online. You can also find a visual novel version of our show on our YouTube, and we also have live airings of our episodes every second Saturday at 4 p.m. CST.
Tell my family I love them. Tell them I...
We hope to see you there. And remember, Nostradamus Corporation cares.
The Heart is a Dungeon is a TTRPG adventure focused on loss, healing, mourning, and joy. Not all subjects are suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hooray, today I leave this place. I've packed a bag and done my face. To head to the city, put my name up in lights. To fall in love through the day and create every night. Where, oh where, could this silly train be? It's running so late and it forgot about me. Perhaps this town will have a meal and a fire while I wait for my dreams in the wreckage of choir. We see a ruin, if one can use that word while referring to modern destruction. You see what was once an up-and-coming, exciting novelty. Ferry has had steam power for quite some time, but it's still a newer applied discovery within the mortal realm. A generation back, this place was the bravest and boldest of those early attempts to understand air, water, fire, movement, and it failed. You see the wreckage of a small town, mostly filled with barracks and bunkhouses, all burnt, gutted, caved in, and to the east you see a sad stretch of sporadic train-like track leading into an unfinished tunnel in the side of a mountain. You see all of this from a hilltop just a short distance away from the broken and bent fence and entrance. You see a small booth near the entrance and the shadow of one, possibly two individuals. You see no other movement or sign of life. You're not far from there, and your wagon is steadily on its way. How is everyone doing?
I'm trying to groom my weird little human feet. I am pecking at them, pecking between the toes, looking them over, doing that weird bird head tilt thing. And I am going to shed my feathers. So that is a 5. So that is a miss. I only partly transformed, and so I started to become human, but then really, I just kind of look like a weird little bird person. It looks sort of like I'm flexing, but really I'm trying to pop out of this bird body, morph out of it. And after a few seconds, I almost collapse back into myself, and I am a bird again with, I'm assuming, weird little human feet.
Interesting enough, you look down and see wonderful little La La Lemon bird feet.
Oh.
But what catches your attention, unfortunately, is that there are no longer wings as much as you have little ripped out arms that come out of your bird shoulder with little human hands. But the rest of you is still all bird.
So I have a bird body with little beefy arms.
Yeah.
Okay. Do not like this. But then I'm going to use the fingers to pick up some of my treasure and hold it. Maybe I do like this.
How long do you think it's been since you had hands?
Technically, I can have hands whenever I want, almost whenever I want. It's a tricky process. You know, above table, I have to roll correctly. But it's probably been a good while since I've really tried.
What's it like to be able to hold something you love without consuming it?
I miss the feeling of it going down my little weird fey bird throat.
That's an intimacy with one's treasure.
Yeah. There's just something different between touching and absorbing it into part of who you are.
I think I would like to just be kind of leaning out the window as we approach, but not looking at the town, just kind of gazing off into the distance. Is my bramble thinking of me?
A 12?
A 6 and a 5 plus 1.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
That's incredible.
I missed on my last roll.
Somewhere elsewhere, there is the crunch and twist of vine and limb as a large force is just making its way through a wood, through a valley, in a direction. There's a ball coming. It's been invited. And it's hoping there, maybe it will find someone who appreciates them without having to send them away at the end. Purple Pippa, Egan, how are you getting ready to approach a town?
You continue to wound me. I'm reeling over here. Egan, not used to friends, but wanting them for some silly mortal reason, leans around the corner and is, Gemma, do you hate me? What? I feel something has changed. I thought we had a good thing. And you seem different. And as Egan smiles at you, you see his teeth have turned quite jagged and sharp.
Oh my.
A full grin. Yes.
Okay. I would like to reveal my heart to you as the move, but the interesting thing about this is because of our binding, it won't affect you, so... But I want to do it anyway.
Okay.
And I rolled 2 ones. I don't hate you. Why would you think that I hate you? I've never hated anything. I'm just heartbroken, and I just start, like, openly weeping. Now, normally when I reveal my heart to someone, it would call you into it with me and I could make you have overwhelming emotions, which is what I'm expecting to happen. But because of our binding, it's almost like you can feel the tug of me trying to manipulate you, but you can see through it. It's not that I'm necessarily lying, but I am trying to pull on your heartstrings, and you can tell.
Yeah, but if I can see through it, and I know, this is still an experience I feel he'd be interested in having. I haven't cried in a very long time. Why not?
Any sense of offense on Egan's part goes out the window when you realize everyone consumes in a different way in this wagon. Egan and Gemma, what does it sound like when you both cry together?
Kind of dramatic, melancholy, almost like you're hearing it from over the ocean, kind of white noise cry.
Because he hasn't cried in a very long time. It's, you don't hear anything. It's the cry where the faucet simply turns on. It's just, like, you would have to go look at him to know.
Purple Pippa, you hear things. Like, the wagon's a little dramatic today, for sure. Especially after running into Teresa earlier. That whole thing with Lala and his feet. How is Purple Pippa preparing themselves for the town or wreckage of Choir?
Well, I want everybody to put their best foot forward, and I can hear some sort of sobbing in the distance. I'll crack my door open a little bit and poke my head out. See the mess of tears. Quickly shut the door, grab a handkerchief, and like scuttle out. Put the handkerchief on the windowsill and sort of back away so I'm not intruding.
Oh. Do you not want to cry with us? You can cry with us. This is a unique experience. I haven't done this in some time.
Cried?
Yes. Hmm. Yes.
Well, I don't believe I have anything to cry about just now.
Look at this. Just leaking. Usually I hate water, but this is interesting. My head hurts.
I'm going to try and shed my feathers again. Want to see if I can do this. That's an 8. So on the head, it's unpleasant to be out of your own shape, so I must revert as soon as I can. I walk out of my room. A mask-presenting figure walks out of Lala's room. They are wearing all black linen. Black linen pants, long-sleeved shirt, with a lemon tree embroidered on the front of the shirt. His hair is messy black with yellow streaks, and he sees the crying, stops, and says, "Okay, this is what we're doing now." They begin to cry.
See, they get it. Look, we're all doing it.
Is that a new shirt?
I'm sorry.
This is incredibly uncomfortable. I do not enjoy the crying. Why are we crying?
It's a new experience. Well, not new, but fresh.
That's fresher. He coughs up his cigarette and begins to smoke while crying.
Oh, yeah, this feels much better.
There you go. Oh. Got a good look going. I love this. This is great.
Well, I was going to ask who you are, but I believe that answers my question.
Oh, I really... do not like this form.
Just let it go, Lala. Just let it go.
Lala cries himself back into a crow. A corvid.
I think this takes me towards winter.
Oh, Pippa! Oh no!
Just gonna brush away the veil.
Ah! Are all of my features corvid-like again, or...?
All of them but your heart, for now.
Oh, but then my heart is like the size of my body.
Possibly.
You're gonna be a little wobbly in the air.
Yeah, a little wobbly. It looks like I'm very full.
Those with hearts that big always have to walk carefully.
God damn it.
You all see the town not far now. There used to be some sort of gate here, long taken down and thrown to the side. You see another little table in front of this gate, and you see a figure sitting at it, another figure standing in the gate, humanoid it seems from here. Your wagon's about to start pulling to a stop in front of this entrance, Old Takam slowing down. You have reached the town of Choir.
I don't hear any singing.
And if you look, like, peeking out your windows before getting out and interacting or anything, looks like a ghost town. You see no signs of life besides the two in front of you. It's a little hard. There's almost like a makeshift fence gate wall that used to be a part of this place that has long also been dilapidated. But at this point, you only see two forms. They don't appear to be talking to each other, and they're only about 15 feet apart. One outside of the gate and one inside.
I hop out of the wagon.
Following suit.
Yes. Hello there. How goes it?
The obvious first person you'd run into would be at the little table, covered in rags and coats and cloths. A little hard to see face or body, but underneath layer upon layer, you definitely see a shape of some sort. The other one a little further in, dressed very sharply, human, holding out a little pocket watch, tapping their foot.
Before addressing the one with the pocket watch, anybody with a keen eye would notice some hungry eyes from Egan as he sizes up this perfectly flammable looking, covered in cloth and rags and coats. Oh my, delectable. But then turns to the one with the pocket watch. Waiting for someone, or something, perhaps?
We're all waiting for different things. The hood comes down in the pile, and you see a figure made of water. And not ocean, you see frogs, you see little tadpoles and reeds blowing inside their body. Beautiful full mouth and a genderless face. Mist around the eyes, waterfall just flowing for hair, and in front of them you see some sort of divination type situation. Cards, tea bags, coffee leaves, those types of things. They look at you, and when your eyes meet, steam. Everywhere your countenances touch, there's just this mist that pops up in between the two of you. As though you both exist in your own spheres that are now a little too warm, a little too damp.
I think I am with Egan. Like, Right, not next to, sort of slightly behind, like a little bit bodyguardish.
That's so wholesome for Egan. Egan would smile so big if he actually knew. That's why you were doing it.
He already got disappeared once. Can't do it again.
She goes to open her mouth and you smell creek. You smell river, fresh water, deep and cool, not the saltiness of the sea. As the human walks up and puts his clock up, you're all right on time. I was told you'd be right around now. You've got a couple hours to rest before your show. Perfect. Highly recommend.
Oh,
our show?
You're the circus, right?
I mean, yes.
In a way. I didn't know we were booked, though.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Good.
They said she would be sending you.
She, would you care to inform us as to who our agent is?
Yes, I would love that as well.
Don't question these things.
He says a name you'll never remember. He says a name that moves through you like cool water in a hot kettle, like wind on a candle in a tower window, like a friend giving you scarves. And then it's gone. It's already a memory. It's already something you've forgotten. You feel the ravage of the name in your body, in your form. And he kind of gives this kind of sinister wink at you. I was also told you would just do your jobs.
So much for hospitality.
Is there somebody else we're waiting for?
All right, you've got 2 hours. There's the stage. And they point and you see...
Where are the people?
You see a small wooden stage with row upon row of empty bench set up, all looking burnt and like old and mangled. But there, arranged, there is a stage, certainly. It's like, 2 hours till dusk. You've got 2 hours.
And, who might we be performing for? There is no one here.
Pulls out a paper from his pocket. Nowhere in this contract does it say you have to have an audience.
Oh.
Contract.
2 hours.
I wasn't aware I signed anything.
He walks away muttering like, business, business, business. Always on time, business, business, business. And goes into a burnt down office building that has like a big chunk of it missing. The door's got all the glass smashed. He closes it behind him and moves open to closed sign.
Ho, ho, hold on. This year, I know exactly what I'm getting my sleigh deer. Holiday gift cards from Hero Forge, with a wide range of options from tabletop miniatures, physical and digital, to 3D printed dice you design, and also custom keychains. Upgrade your gaming experience with the Pro subscription, which grants you access to new item drops a week early, and unleash your inner bard by designing wild creations, giving them the perfect mood lighting and backdrops with the photo booth tool. All that and more, starting at only $3.99 a month. Avoid those long lines and have your Hero Forge gift cards delivered straight to your email at heroforge.com.
Hey campers, have you heard of season 5 of 5 Gems in a Trench Coat from Inside the Tent? You haven't? Well, let us tell you about it.
A nice, green, natural regional park. This is Hidden Falls Regional Park. For our purposes, in our world, it's a bit larger than it actually is. It is the summer of 1983, and it is all of your first time getting to stay at Hidden Falls.
We promise it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a story of three childhood friends going across the Americas in 1987 using Kids on Bikes, second edition. So grab a blanket, make some coffee. The first three episodes are available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I waddle over.
Big old human heart.
I'm still watching from the windowsill, pretending like I'm not paying attention, but I'm listening. I'm very curious about that water person.
Salt water mixed with fresh water is brackish water.
Where the river meets the sea, one day perhaps you will meet. But for now, as you all exit, Takam very lovely kind of pulls your wagon into the perfect spot. Excellent at parallel goading. No.
Keep it. You have to keep it.
The people demanded.
And has parked your wagon inside this arena, town, square space of sorts. You have 2 hours.
I don't think he's doing very much business.
I want to look for people.
I'm going to investigate the stage.
I would go with Lala because I don't think that stage is up to code.
No, it's not.
I'm torn. I think I would follow to the stage, but not really paying attention to what they're doing. I would just start pulling out random instruments to check the acoustics, and then maybe wander back after Egan.
Lala, Lemon easily make the way to the stage and see. It looks solid. It just looks like it's also been completely singed with fire.
I am going to roll Spill Someone's Secrets, but from the stage's point of view.
Oh yeah, fuck yeah, do that.
When you open your beak and spill someone's secrets, roll. On any roll, ask the MC or the other player what you say. On a 10 plus hit, choose whether you speak it aloud in unmistakable plain language, in the language of crows, or only in an uninterpretable caw. On a miss, tell the MC or the other player that they can shut you up before you say it aloud, but only by doing violence to you, and ask them whether they do. Bird eyes with a plus 2, so 4. Yeah.
The dice have been mean to you this evening.
Before we zoom away briefly, Purple Pippa looks over at Lala Lemon bulging from their potential for love within them at this moment, as their mouth just opens and they start. It was a massacre. They all died. They died.
Johnny! Tom!
You start hearing different voices, people yelling out, like, there was a cave in, you hear weapons running, like people bringing tools, all of this from just this open bird mouth coming out in stereo in different tones. You hear the tragedy of this stage as you hear feet like running across it, instruments dropping as people run to a disaster. Your heart is almost back to the original size. We move away very quick. Egan, you're looking for people while you hear something strange.
I'm sure they're fine. It's nothing to worry about. It's people screaming, it's normal.
Classic Fae nonsense.
Did people die here? Does anyone cling to this patch of mortal plain? And can I dare them to come out?
Oh, shit. You definitely can. Yeah, you definitely can.
Come on. We simply can't have empty seats. Everyone, wake up. Get your asses up. You are alive, you are living. Seize the day. Come.
Roll for that move as
okay.
Meander Opal is watching you from her pile of cloth. in her river stone eyes.
Oh, I did. Oh, Bennett, that's a 10. I lead them to the best seats in the circus. It's right here on the paper. And later they'll find that they paid a premium to sit there.
They will indeed find that out. For the first time in a generation, the town of Choir fills before the sun's fully set. All these abandoned bunks, barracks, burnt beds, dark caves, storage rooms full of pickaxes and tools. Small ghosts, 13, 14, 15-year-old humans. You see some gnomes, kobolds, the occasional faun and centaur, the stronger, more load-bearing creatures mixing with smaller workers of all sorts. Transparent, dirty, as they're just rising from beds where you could not see any forms. Voiceless, no smile, no eye contact. They just rise and begin a slow walk towards the stage, one step at a time, towards the benches, all making little single file lines from where they're coming from. Uniform, so quiet.
Better than nothing? Excellent. Superb! You're doing great. Pick a good spot.
And they hear the sounds of their doom coming from the mouth of a bird. And they are also too swollen with a heart at this moment.
Well, I had originally intended to follow after Egan, but I think seeing this procession of ghosts, I might just kind of try to go unnoticed and slink back somewhere where nobody's gonna watch me, obviously, and just add to the haunting mood with my violin, just to be antagonistic, I guess.
Their trauma has a soundtrack as the ghosts of these workers make their way past a corvid, blaring out their parents, calling their names like a far-off dream.
Perhaps there's a way we can give this a happy ending.
You hear a little ticking as that same man with the soup's behind you. You got all of them out early? We're ahead of schedule. She was right about all of you. This is great. Yeah, yeah, get to your chairs. Get out there. Once a year, you have to let them celebrate. It's part of the contract.
I think Egan takes a look. And I know they seemed somber, but now that they're seated, do they appear to be engaging with each other at all? Or simply blank?
Very blank, very... Give me some sort of role to discern a situation. Let me see what I can give you.
Ooh, that's an 11. So they're trapped here.
Well, you know, I call it job security.
Job security. They don't look like they're having any fun.
Oh, no, that's... Well, that's your job. Job security. For everybody.
Egan's wheels are turning and does not like this. But we'll try to go converse with the others to see what their take is on an earlier performance or delaying for whatever reason.
Purple Pippa and La La Lemon, as you're done looking at the stage and, you know, replaying trauma's greatest hits, there's a strange shape. You would have taken it for, like, the tree in the middle of town, like the town square area. It looks familiar in the same way as the plant in your wagon. It's as though it started the same way and then was raised by someone with a much different moral guidance that you've shown so far. So it's this strange large bush with pomegranates that open with teeth like Venus fly traps and little thorny vines that seem at the end like they have two little fangs where they could latch on and draw from you. But the leaves are familiar. The shape is familiar.
I think I'm going to not actually pick a pomegranate, but I'm going to reach up for one. Is there a reaction from the tree? Does it do anything?
The reaction is from Mr. Grassland, actually.
Interesting.
Feel free, but I'd be a little careful. It takes more than it's given. I mean, you would all know, right?
We would?
Don't you have one?
I suppose we have something similar.
Yeah, you gotta feed it. Take care of it. Did you not get any instructions?
No.
You wanna know why my tree's so big and beautiful?
I would love to know why your tree is so big and beautiful.
Because of those ghosts.
Because of those ghosts? What about those ghosts?
Their suffering is so delectable. You can tell she loves it. And as they hear once again, we'll do a little wibbly wobbly with time, Lala Lemon replaying the night of the disaster, you see the flowers of the tree just become a little more vibrant as it's drawing this negative energy into it from this place where it's been planted. It is collecting the emotion that's being created here, and it finds it to be a beautiful meal. Meander Opal has now packed up all of their tools of divination and is quickly going to hurry off before the ghosts are too active and the moon is too high. They go off and down the road into other parts of other stories. The steam, the humidity between Egan and them dissipates as the distance of both body and destiny grows. The benches are full. Mr. Greenland back there with his little clock, so excited you're going to be ahead of schedule. Finally, somebody to tone down these annoying workers. Just give me. It's wonderful that you're here to help. Purple Pippa, as the sun is almost set and the time for the circus has almost arrived, how do you prepare your body, your voice, your tea kettle?
I've retreated back to my room in the shack of a wagon. While I am not a bird currently, I have my beautiful feathered cloak and I'm preening almost like a bird, ruffling my feathers, making sure it looks majestic and beautiful, doing some light stretching, pacing around my room, warming up. More nervous than I would normally be, specifically because of the horrible sound that came out of Lala Lemon's mouth.
He was filled with a lot of heart at the moment. You can't blame him.
He was filled with so much heart, and it was a beautiful display of vulnerability and also absolutely terrifying.
Egan walks a little bit on the outskirts of this literal ghost town, gathers kindling, gathers brush, gathers leaves, gathers anything, and literally stokes the fire, sets it ablaze with his hands in the core of this fire, just breathes it in. That's how he prepares.
I'm not a particular stranger to performing. It's just a little bit, I'd rather do something else. My ritual, I think, will be to find kind of outer skirts of wherever we are, kind of keeping an eye out for water, natural bodies of water, if there is one, and just exercising my voice, making various strange bird-ish seal cry sounds, little snippets of song, but more just noise than actual singing, and see if I notice anything special about this place. Keep an eye on them. I'm curious.
It's good to be curious.
Lala is deciding if he wants to take his human shape again or attempt to for easier performance, and he is going to attempt to shift.
I love him.
Oh, Lala.
Do we do good?
Does it?
Yes!
He hits the 10.
We did it.
He is comfortable. Lala is comfortable in their human form as he hits 10 exactly. Once again, he is in these dark linen clothes with this bright golden embroidered lemon tree, shaggy, feathery black hair swaying in a non-existent wind. He taps the stage with his fingers as he thinks up a tune.
I'm Feral Moonbeam. You can find me on Blue Sky and the Heart is a Dungeon podcast, and sometimes I draw things.
Hello, I'm Kelly, also known as the Kellhop on most places in the internet. I play games in places, and I hope you come watch them.
Hi, I'm Mika, and I do things. I'm a Brazilian-American content creator and AP performer, best known for creating Roll D5, R-O-L-E D5. We are a Twitch channel that specializes in playing indie TTRPGs. You can mostly find me there, or you can check out my link tree, which is Mika McIntosh, M-I-K-A-M-C-I-N-T-O-S-H. That's Linktree/ Mika McIntosh. Mika like the singer, McIntosh like the computer, minus the A. Kisses.
Hi, I'm Zoe. I am a voice actor, and you can find me at Zotea Potato on Twitter or on my website, zoedlee.card.co.
Hey, I'm Rara. I show up in a lot of games, and I run this podcast. You can find me most places under some sort of Rara. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for joining our circus.